Welcome back to the second half of The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. An epidemic of rape, that's what the San Antonio Express News says, is happening in our U.S. military. And after the rape, the victim is told to keep quiet or else be tossed out of the military with a fake diagnosis of a mental condition that would also take away their military benefits. This is not happening every once in a while, but frequently in the military. There are calls for reform, but is it enough? We want to hear from you. If you've been a witness to or subjected to one of these instances, please give us a call. The number is 614-8980. Give us a call, 614-8980. You also, if you've got questions or comments, you can go to our website, tpr.org. Also, email questions to thesource@tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, you can see that in the today's paper, this is the final part of a three-part series on sexual assault in the military called Twice Betrayed, exploring how women and men are systematically silenced, intimidated, and re-traumatized. And the writer for this terrific series is Carissa King, and the project editor, David Shepard, and they're here joining us to talk about this investigative project. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
So, Twice Betrayed, tell me about the title. How did y'all come up with this title?
Well, the title came out of hearing the accounts of service members who were coming forward and hearing them talk about a very profound sense of betrayal that they suffer first at the hands of the perpetrator, and then a form of re-victimization that happens after that by the chain of command and the military criminal justice system and what that puts them through. So for a lot of victims, that experience of that loss of trust in the military in particular, which is very tight-knit, there is a very large emphasis on loyalty, and these service members are actually trained to trust fellow troops with their lives. And so that sense of betrayal can be just devastating for them. And there's a lot of, we heard that over and over again. So that's how that evolved.
So betrayed by the military you've developed this incredible bond with your fellow service members. And one of them ends up being the attacker. And then they don't, the whole system does not protect the victim, but also wants to, they punish the victim in many ways.
Certainly, that is what we're hearing from many victims.
Okay, so the phones are lighting up. I want to go right away to a person who's on the phone, and they want to tell their story. Go right ahead. We don't have your name, but go ahead.
Yes, I don't want to say my name. I am a Vietnam veteran. I was in the United States Navy. I was raped. I was impregnated. I was raped by a gynecologist. The gynecologist took me and aborted my child. I held this secret all through the late 60s and early 70s and all of my life. And it wasn't until about 10 years ago that I came out and finally told what happened to me. I've been asking for my disability, and I've been fighting for over 10 years. I'm at 50%, and last year I found out, due to my age and a colonoscopy, that I also have papilloma due to the rape, which I was anally assaulted, and I didn't know better, or when I found out I was pregnant, I didn't have the sense enough to realize that I could go to a different doctor on the outside. I was a young girl. And when I went to the doctor, it was the gynecologist. And that's when him and his friends took me and aborted me and then put me out of the Navy.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear that. Have you reached out? Have you found any groups or support organizations that can help you right now?
Well, the truth is that I live in another part of this state, and I'm in San Antonio because I drive hours and hours to come for therapy at the VA here so that other people in my community, I am very active in my community for veterans' causes, and I don't want people to know what happened to me. And so I get some help, but it's never going to bring, I don't believe in abortion, it's never going to bring that unborn child back because of what happened to me, the two children that I had later. I believe that my children have secondary PTSD because I treated them differently because of the guilt of losing a child in the way that it was taken from me.
Right.
And I just don't get the support, even now. And I have to say that this is very prevalent. Ricardo Sanchez, which was the general that lives in San Antonio, when he was head of the Iraq War Theater, had full knowledge of women that were either getting massive bladder and urinary infections because they wouldn't come out of their areas in the middle of the night to go to the restroom to empty their bladders.
Right.
Because they were afraid of getting raped on the way to and from, and they were. And General Sanchez knew and did nothing about it.
Okay. Well, that's something that we can bring up with General Sanchez at some time. I really appreciate your phone call. Thank you so much for calling in. This story is just heartbreaking. And so I know in your reporting, as you did the special series for the San Antonio Express News, so Carissa, you must have heard these types of stories.
Yes, absolutely. These stories are can be wrenching, and everyone is different. Every story from each victim is different, but there are patterns that emerge from them as well.
And she's talking about something that happened to her while active duty during the Vietnam War, but you're not seeing any changes. I mean, there's still these types of instances happening with in the military today.
I'm not sure it's fair to say that there are no changes. There certainly have been a raft of reforms, and this crisis has been building in a very public way for over a year. Lackland took off a long time ago. It's been a year now of Lackland headlines.
So this is the recruiter training scandal that has rocked Lackland, where we've seen many, 33 cases where there have been people in charge of training recruits who have taken advantage of them sexually, assaulted them sexually, used their authority over them. And many of these people, the victims, said, what choice did I have? I had no authority. My life was in their hands, right?
Yes, and that power dynamic is a big part of all of this. A lot of victims, like the recruits at Lackland, are younger. They tend to be under the age of 25 and lower ranking. The Defense Department actually tracks this very carefully. And
right.
So in some cases, the perpetrators are older and higher ranking.
Okay, I got to take a break right now. But when we come back, we're going to talk more about the special series in the San Antonio Express News called Twice Betrayed. This is The Source on KSTX. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, Carissa King, a reporter for the San Antonio Express News, Special Projects Editor David Shepard with the San Antonio Express News, talking about their three-part series that they worked on for 7 months, Twice Betrayed, talking about a epidemic of rape in the military. That's what they call it in the report. We're getting a lot of phone calls, so we're going to try and go to as many of these as we can. So let's go to Jesse. Jesse's been standing by. Thank you so much for waiting, Jesse. You're on The Source.
Hey, how you doing today? Thank you for taking my call.
Go right ahead, Jesse.
Yeah, I was a former military police officer in the Marine Corps and the Navy. And, I've kind of experienced a lot of the issues that have, transpired as far as the cover-ups have been concerned. I think that there's a deeper problem here that that the military is not really taking recognition of as far as... How are they going to cure this problem? I'm not aware of your knowledge of the rules and regulations of military fraternization, but enlisted men and women are not allowed to fraternize with staff NCOs or officers, which is something that a lot of people already know about. Now, a lot of this does happen within the enlisted ranks as well as the staff NCO ranks, but the problem is that there is way too much allotted as far as what they get away with because they're protected by their seniors.
Okay.
This guy is so doing a fantastic.
So we capsulize. So you're saying that the system protects them. The upper ranking commanders protect the lower ranking officers.
Oh yeah, I mean
So let's give our guest the opportunity to comment on that because we got a lot of calls. We're going to try and get to as many of them as we can. So is that something that you found that the chain of command is something that's involved in protecting the attackers?
That's certainly proven to be true in a lot of the cases with the women that we did talk to. Yesterday there was the story profiled a woman in the military, a Marine officer, Lieutenant L. Helmer, who talked about first reporting her assault at the Marine barracks and the treatment that she received from her chain of command. And she was essentially discouraged at almost every point along the way from reporting the assault, even though in her case the evidence was fairly egregious. The major that she had accused of raping her was actually discovered by those in her chain of command, passed out in his office with his pants off.
So in your reporting, you talk about how the victims will be basically drummed out of the military if they speak up, right?
They certainly feel that it is in retaliation.
Then they are diagnosed with issues like a borderline personality disorder or adjustment inability to make it. So these manic depression or bipolar disorder. So they're saying these are pre-existing conditions that they had before they were in the military. So therefore, they don't have to receive their military benefits. And sometimes are given like dishonorable discharges, right?
Correct.
Is that right, David?
Correct.
And so that these are things. Well, can at least that be corrected? Can we go back and can we fix with this level of reporting and all of these people who are coming out and saying there is something going on wrong here? Is there anything that can be done to sort of correct that sort of issue?
Well, the military has acknowledged a problem with those diagnoses and is trying to change the way they are treated. The GAO has reported on this twice already, and they found a lot of these discharges were, in fact, illegal. The diagnoses were not made correctly. 2 years later, they came back again. The military installed some reforms, made some changes in how they were done, and again, they found problems with the way the diagnoses were made. There is, in fact, legislation right now before Congress. One congressman from Minnesota, I believe, has introduced a bill to go back and pay reparations, basically, to people who were discharged.
And we're talking about billions of dollars. You reported that $4 billion was saved by the military by giving people discharges that have now come into question. Isn't David Shepard, special projects editor for the Express News, that was an $8 billion also was on the table that has been saved through not paying benefits for these people.
Correct. And that's part of the Defense Department's own reporting. I mean, that's where we got that information.
So this is something, but it can be rectified. The rapes happened. People and the victims got drummed out of the military, but maybe this can be fixed. And you had this one victim who told she can't be buried with military honors with her family.
That's the same woman that I was just talking about, L. Helmer. So she received, it was not an honorable discharge, which came about as a result of her really pushing her case forward, trying to.
All right, so still lots of phone activity. We need to get to that. So let's go to Richard. Has been waiting patiently. Richard, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for taking my call.
All right, sir, so go right ahead.
I've been following this whole episode of Lackland Air Force Base. I'm a retired Air Force sergeant, and I'm extremely angered and embarrassed by the way the military is conducting itself. And I feel like I don't think there's any family member who wants their daughter to be in the military with this going on. It seems like our leaders are not capable of understanding the problem or doing anything about it. And I think it's going to take the president to light a fire under all of these generals, all of our administration, to get them to do something. They apparently don't think it's that important, because if they did, they would have solved this problem by now. It's almost to the point of it getting to be a third world country. Maybe it's slightly India. They don't care about rapes. Is that what's going on in our military here? They don't care about hearing what's going on and solving the problem. I'm just very embarrassed with the way it's being conducted, and it puts a stain on the military, the Air Force especially, right now with all that's going on.
Richard, thank you for your call. We really appreciate that. So Secretary of Defense Hagel has said he wants to have everybody readdress training. He wants to put some focus on this. Is that enough to deal with these sexual assaults and rapes and cover-ups?
There are certainly a growing number of lawmakers who don't think that's enough. Right now, I think the big battle is going to be over whether or not they will be able to retain power. The commanders will be able to retain the power over these cases that they have always had.
And so that's the issue of commanders who are able to basically vanquish, erase convictions and sentencings for people who are actually, when they go to, the few of them who do go to trial for these sexual assaults, and the few of them that do get convicted, you have commanders who have the ability and who have done it. You said only 5 in 5 years have done it, but that's enough, who have just wiped out these convictions with the stroke of a pen.
Yes, they have the ability to determine, basically they can wipe out a conviction, and they can also significantly drop out the sentences.
So let's talk about how this impacts the military. People are very focused on our military readiness. And this, how does this impact, you know, I would think if we've got very qualified people, you had one of the victims who was a Korean code breaker. That seemed like a pretty highly specialized area that we probably put a lot of money into training that woman to achieve that level of ability. And then you throw her out of the military because she was a victim of sexual assault. That doesn't seem like a good use of our tax funds.
It doesn't seem very efficient, and that's one of the things that you hear the service members talking about, is that they felt that they were thrown away. And these, in many cases, were high performers. They were in, they had gone through boot camp and held, Elle Helmer, at the Marine Barracks, her career was skyrocketing, And to not be able to finish that out is very painful for them.
And she said it was her dream job. She always wanted to be a Marine. She came from a military family.
Sure. And then that all went away. Let me try and get one last caller on. We have an anonymous female who wants to tell her story. We've only got about less than 3 minutes, so I'm sorry we have to rush you. But can you tell us what you want to tell us?
That's okay. Hi, I'm a vet. I'm glad you're talking about this subject. I think it's a really massive problem in the military. I was in the 80s. And it was a conventional date rape type of thing. But we've really created now a kind of warrior class of people. They're really separate, from everybody else. And they feel very entitled. They're battle-hardened. They're tough. They're heroic. They're grand. They've done great things for this nation, And sometimes they feel somewhat entitled. Do you know what I'm saying? You have young girls coming in, very innocent, and these battle-hardened people in this warrior class, they're very heroic, but they feel kind of isolated from the American mainstream, and maybe they feel like they can get away with a little more or need a little more than other people in the mainstream do.
All right.
Just an opinion.
Thank you so much. And one thing you pointed out in your reporting, which reflects what she said, is that often during the sexual assaults, the women are being told that they're not real Marines, they're not real warriors. And so there is a level of actual straight-up sexual discrimination thrown into this process as well. Is that right, Ms. King?
Yes, they talk about an environment that is fairly hostile. It can be fairly hostile to women, and getting paddled on the butt is not not uncommon. There was one woman who suffered it so frequently that it became a big joke in her unit, Lola Miles, and she's in the story, and she talked about being basically hit on the butt so much that they called him the butt man, and it was this big joke until finally one night he essentially attacked her in a car, and she was also subsequently pushed out.
So the reporting is documented all these attacks. And we're running out of time here, but where does this go from here? I mean, is this legislation, bring it to the attention of the citizens and our lawmakers and hopefully get some reforms?
Well, the first step toward reform is exposure. And, you know, this really documents what's happened with a lot of these cases. There is a lot going on in Washington right now. There are several bills. We've had two congressional hearings on the issue. And, you know, just in the last couple weeks, you know, President Obama has come out. He's met with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said this is unacceptable, and he expects people to be held accountable.
All right. Well, I want to thank you guys, Carissa King, the reporter for the San Antonio Express News on the special series, Twice Betrayed, Special Projects Editor David Shepard, here also to help us talk about this project. Thanks to all our callers. Sorry we couldn't get to all of you. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
The Source is a production of Texas Public Radio. Paul Flav produces the show. Oversight is provided by TPR Program Director Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor, and production assistance comes from Catherine Dixon. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
Meat. It's what's for dinner, maybe. We'll tell you more next time on Marketplace from APM.
You can hear Marketplace this evening at 6:30 on News and Views at 89.1 KSTX.
Did you miss an episode of your favorite public radio show on KSTX or even a single story? Easy access to both are built into the Texas Public Radio app for iPhone, iPad, and Android. We make it easy for you to hear the shows you want. Just click the on-demand tab of the app, and both national and local podcast versions of your favorite shows are at your fingertips. And as always, the live stream has the ability to rewind, fast forward, and be paused. Visit the iTunes App Store or the Google Play Store to download and search Texas Public Radio.
This is KSTX, San Antonio. Good afternoon. It's 4 o'clock.